heaven, and if I just do good enough, I could just feed enough people, or if I could just read my Bible enough, boy, then God would really, really like me. Right? We get into that. Boy, God would just like me more. And the reality is He won't. He won't like you more. God loves you the way you are. And He wants you to get better and to be better, not for Him, but because of Him, from Him, to live from His love and His grace, not for His love and His grace. See, things are good and we get praise and then I'm all good. I'm great. And then when people complain or things are bad, we start to get down on ourselves and beat ourselves up and tell us how bad we are. You know, I have to tell you, that's a struggle. And I think for anybody in ministry, in life, that's a struggle. When you go to work or you go through things, you get to that and people talk about how bad things are, complain, and it gets you down. And if it doesn't get you down when people complain or talk about things aren't good or you didn't do a good job, I got to imagine you're either completely oblivious or a narcissist. Those are the only two places you can be. But you can look at those things and say, you know what, that's not good, but I'm doing my best. I'm trying to seek after God, and He's the one who I have to do the best for. And He's the one who I'm seeking after. And when we get praise, we get the same way. See, it's a struggle when we try and live based on our performance. Because our performance goes up and down. Our performance changes daily in the things we do. Some days we do really good, some days we do really bad. And if you don't believe it, ask any baseball player. And ask them, what are their stats? Go up to a baseball player and ask them their stats. I guarantee you they will know. They will know because they live by their performance. See, we get caught up in that. We get caught up in those things. And there was one who was really caught up in that in Scripture. There was a guy who was so caught up in it that he began to kill people because of it. And his name was Paul. We talked about him. If you want to turn there, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, that's page 1828. So Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, the black ones, that's page 1828. Oh, thank Mario, you are awesome. And I don't say that just to make you feel good. It's true. So Mario's going to be doing that more as we get up there and put them up as we go. So Paul was caught up in this. And before he came to know Jesus, and even after, as we know, he struggled with it. But we're going to read Philippians chapter 4. Verses 3 through 6, we're going to start, and then we'll go on from there later. It says, Paul is talking about this confidence in the flesh. He says this, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Let me just paraphrase that for you right now. Paul says, if you think you're good, I'm better. If you think you're good, you're talented, you're a religious person, you're spiritual, I'm better. I'm better than all of you. You're not good enough. Paul's saying, I was. He says this. He says, I have more confidence. In verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrews of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. This word, he actually uses a phrase here, not just circumcise, what we to cut around, but he uses the word for circumcised, mutilated, on the eighth day. It's a little play that he does, but he's saying that really is not relevant. And he later on in other parts of Scripture calls people the Judaizers, was what we call them, the mutilators of the flesh. Here's what a Judaizer is. A Judaizer is a person who went around the first century after people would become Christians and say, yeah, you know what? You got Jesus, but you also need this. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. See, the Judaizers were Jesus plus people. They were Jesus plus. It meant it, whatever you believe about Jesus plus something else they said. See, we do that today in our churches today. It's Jesus plus reading your Bible enough, or going to church every week, or Jesus plus serving here. And all those things are important to do. I'm not saying don't do them. I've talked about them over and over again. But that does not bring you salvation. It comes from Jesus Himself. And Paul says that circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Let me say that again. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Now, for most of us, we'd say, well, we follow the Ten Commandments. If we really get what Jesus says, well, we follow two commandments. We follow love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But most of us would go, in America, well, there's the Ten Commandments. You know, we follow those. We don't kill anybody. We don't covet. You know, we're okay. And I've done pretty good at those. I've only broken a few here and there at different times, maybe, you know, kind of thing. But Paul didn't follow the Ten Commandments. He followed the 613 of the law. And he says, out of those 613, you can't accuse me of breaking any. I never did anything wrong, faultless. You have nothing to say against me. And so Paul is caught up. He was caught up in this trap. This trap that says, if I work good enough, if I work hard enough, if I do all these things, then God has no choice but to love me. I'm going to force God to love me. I'm going to get caught up in this performance and God will love me. And when we have these results from it, we do two things when we start to live like that. First is, we try and please God by following all the rules. And that's what Paul said. I'm going to follow every rule there is, and if I can please God. And so if I just do everything right, then I'll please God. The problem is, in Christianity today, the rules change in a lot of places depending on what church you go to. Some will say, well, it's Jesus plus this. You know, Jesus plus this. And so, you know, if you're not reading enough or you're not doing this enough. And again, I'm not saying don't do those things. Don't read. You need to read your Bible. You need to serve. You need to do those things. But those aren't salvation issues. Those are relational issues. Those don't make you good enough. See, you know, we start to feel good based on what I don't do. You know, we get up and like Jesus talks about the Pharisee who's praying next to a tax collector. Dear God, thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. That I'm not a sinner and a thief. And you know, we say that today. Dear God, thank you that I'm like that person down the street. Those neighbors who are always partying loudly and annoying me, and their kids drive up and down the street and their kids are yelling. Dear God, thank you that I'm not like those people. Dear God, thank you that and we know this one. Thank you that I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or what is it? Go with women who do. You know, remember that one? Yeah. Yeah. Remember, that was it. All right, no, I don't drink, smoke, or chew. And that's what our parents taught us, or maybe your parents did. My parents really didn't care. And they did all those things anyways. But you know, they teach you, don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with women who do. You know, you don't do those things. And if you do that, you're a good Christian. And that's not what Christianity is about. We miss it by trying to follow the rules. We say today, well, you know, I don't watch that secular TV. I only watch the whatever it is, TBN or 3-day or whatever, 3BN, I don't know, whatever else they have out there. And I don't go to those rated R movies. I only go to PG-13 or Disney. And if they have certain things, I won't go to them. And the reality is, I'm not telling you to go to those movies. But we start to hold those up as standards to say, well, this is what it means to be a Christian. And that's not what it's about. The first result is that we try and please God by following rules. The second is that I try and show my worth based on what I produce and how I perform. I try and show my worth or my value based on what I do, how I perform and what I produce. Here's what this means, that if I just serve enough, and trust me, preachers, pastors, leaders get caught in this trap more than you can imagine. If I can just serve enough, grow the church enough, have enough ministries or enough programs or enough kids or enough people sitting down, then I'm good. And then God must be pleased with me. And we see this over and over. And this is why we get some of these preachers who get caught up in scandals, is because people don't call them on their behavior for certain things. This is in one of my favorite stories in Scripture. And it's not a favorite story because it's a good story. But it's a favorite story because it reminds me of the dangers of us getting caught up in our own performance. Uzziah the king, who had done great things since he was a young boy, and conquered kingdoms and served incredible ways for God, decided that one day he was going to go into the temple himself and burn some incense to the Lord. The problem is that even as king, he wasn't allowed to do that. Only the priest, the high priest, was allowed to enter in the presence of the Lord. And when he went in, the priest tried to stop him. And they said, hey, you can't do that. That's not for you to do. And he says, no, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. And he goes in to burn some incense, and when he gets in there, God strikes him with leprosy. And because he thought that his worth and his value was based on what he had done for God and how lucky God was to have him. Now, I don't know if you've ever said this, but it's time every now and then it pops in my head and I try and repent as quickly as I can. And they come after maybe a good sermon or something good happens. I think, boy, God is really lucky to have me on his side. God is lucky that I'm preaching for him. God is lucky that I'm doing X, you know. And I try and repent as quickly as possible because I'm lucky that God hasn't struck me down for my sin. That God has shown me grace daily, over and over again. Because we all fall short. Not you, not me, but all fall short of the glory of God. And we have to, we can't be good enough. We can't stop sinning enough to get God to love us. We can't do enough to get God to love us more. God loves us because of who he is. You see, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul goes on to say something, and I call this the scubula factor. And some of you have heard this word. I've talked about it before. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, after he talks about how great he was and all the things he had done and how perfect he says was, he says this, verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. All that stuff before is irrelevant. How good I was is irrelevant. He says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I consider them rubbish. I've said this. This word rubbish is the word scubula. And Paul uses it. It's a very strong word. We might say in church, in other translations are dung or rubbish or garbage. We might say in church, well, that's crap. You know, except because we can't use certain words in church. But Paul was saying that something worse than crap, a word that we wouldn't use in church. In fact, it might be, we might say something like this in society. Or we might have a bumper sticker that says, scubula happens. Yeah, scubula happens. That's what Paul says. I now consider them all scubula. This dung, this crap compared to knowing Christ. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. He says, all that stuff is not about me. My righteousness doesn't come from me. My being good enough doesn't come from me. It comes from God himself. He says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. See, his righteousness, he understood, came through faith in Christ. It comes from Jesus himself, not our own, not our works, because we can never be good enough. Because as soon as we start to do good enough, as soon as we start to do well enough, we fall short. We make a mistake. We have these problems where things don't go as well as we'd like them to go. They come in short. When we cut the wood, it's measured wrong. And it becomes useless. See, we can't stop sinning enough. We can't do enough to make God love us more because he already has. And it becomes our righteousness, our good enough, being good enough comes through Jesus himself. Jesus is what makes us good enough. He says, which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That righteousness that comes from God and is by faith comes from him himself. See, we can never do good enough on our own. We can never be good enough. As a child, I said I struggled with this. This was an issue for me over and over again. And when I came to Christ, I remember sitting with the pastor. And I have said before, I have this good kind of very minute Catholic background where we used to go occasionally here and there. And enough that I picked up what I call Catholic guilt. Anybody ever experienced Catholic guilt? And some of you may not have that Catholic background, but the one thing you know is that as a Catholic or a nominal Catholic like I was, is that you just suck. Excuse my language. But that's kind of, you're just not good enough. You just are a horrible person. And ultimately Jesus has done it. And you learn that, and it's a good thing to learn, but that gets twisted. And so I remember meeting with a pastor and he was talking to me about Jesus and what Jesus had done for me. And he tells me about this gift that Jesus offers. And I remember looking at him and saying, well, I appreciate that. But I'm not good enough. I don't deserve that. And I remember looking at him, waiting for me to do like the rest of the world does, and waiting him for say to me, you know what? You're good enough. You know, you're a good person, Fred. You're lovely. You're really nice. People love you. You deserve a break today. You know, whatever they are, those things. Go to McDonald's. They love you. You know, get it your way. However, but he didn't say any of that. He looked me dead in the eye and he said this. He says, you're not good enough. You're absolutely right. That's why it's a gift. It's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to be good enough for God. He has made you good enough. And from that was the most freeing thing I ever heard, because I didn't have to earn my way to Christ. I didn't have to earn my way to salvation. I knew that Jesus had done it for me. And that he is the one who makes me good enough. I had been striving my whole life to be good enough to get people to love me. And I encountered this God of the universe who gave himself in the flesh, who says, you're good enough not because of what you've done, but because of what I've done. See, he understood that I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't stop sinning enough, and I couldn't perform well enough to ever be good enough to live up to his standard. So he gave himself for me. Because all that other stuff, all that avoiding sin and trying to earn my way, is all scubula. It's all scubula compared to knowing Christ and the faith that comes from God. Paul says this in another place. And while he's saying something similar about his own righteousness, he says this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. He says this, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased. Paul was talking about his righteousness, his own goodness. And he says, but when God, who set me apart from birth, and called me by his grace. See, God called him by his grace, not by Paul's goodness, not by how great Paul was, not by his legalistic zeal or his righteousness, but by his grace. Not on our own power. See, too often we try and say, but when I, you know, we've heard this from our friends, you know, when I get it together, then I'll go to church. You know, if you do that, if you wait till you get it together to go to church or come to Christ, you'll be the only person who has it together. And you probably never make it. The reality is. And so, but when God in his grace calls us, not being good enough. See, when we understand it in the right context, when we understand it in God's truth, is freedom. Not knowing that you are not good enough is freeing. Satan wants to use it and twist it to tell you you're not good enough, that you can't serve, that God will never love you, that you can never do things for him, and that whatever you do, you'll always fall short. And the reality is, it's true. But God has called you by his grace, not by your works. And we have to know that. But when God, say that with me. But when God, say it again. But when God. See, but when God calls us, it doesn't matter what other people think, it is by his grace. But when God forgives us, it doesn't matter what Satan brings up about the past, how we've sinned. God loves us. But when God empowers you, no one can stop you. But when God heals you, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. But when God calls you, he makes you good enough. But when God accepts you through Christ, we no longer live for his approval, but from his approval. If you're going to write anything down, write this down. But when God accepts me through Christ, I no longer live for his approval, but from his approval. Write it down. You may get it later. Let me say how I live this out. I said from that day forward, I worked trying to be good enough. And when I came to Christ, I realized I was. Not because of me, but because of him. And so I wake up every morning. I was telling someone this the other day. I wake up every morning good enough. I have to do nothing. I just get up. And all of a sudden, I start my day being good enough. And so whatever I do after that, to honor, to love, to serve, to have a relationship with Christ, is I move from being good enough into greatness. You get that? If you're already good enough, it's a small step to live for God into greatness. And when we have that freedom to know I'm not trying to perform for him, to make him happy or to please him, but from Him, from His love. It's the most freeing thing in the world. But when God accepts me through Christ, I no longer live for His approval, but from His approval. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your great love. Lord, Your love that accepted me as a failure, as a sinful man, as a broken person. Lord, I thank You for Your love who continues to accept me as I fail, as I struggle, and as I sin. Lord, I know the evil one would try and distort that and tell me and everyone here that we're not good enough. Lord, I pray that we would know that phrase, that we're not good enough, that truth in Your way, in Your understanding, that brings freedom so that we no longer have to live under the law, under persecution, under guilt and shame, but under the umbrella of grace, because You called us by that grace. In Jesus' name, amen.